Okay, it's really a religious principle. Eating too much shmina. I don't know. I really no clue what this means. This is something totally off the chart, very Kabbalistic. Do doctors understand this? I really doubt. Is there any understanding of what this means here? Maybe to some degree. Does anyone know what that means? When you're too satisfied from what you have eaten, it brings on in your mind evil thoughts. Now, what does that mean? Thoughts about noshim, apikorsis, hate. Yeah. So you're saying it's psychological. It's a psychological thing. All right, whatever it is, it's a spiritual thing. I know, he goes into, we're going to read the footnote, but I know, we'll read it in a few moments. Let's just read it, I want to finish this paragraph, and then we'll read the footnotes. Ketzad, what do we mean over here? Ha'yi lefanav machol mi dogim fish, or mi basar, meat, or mi shar ma'adonim, other delicacies. Al yimonem milechol klal. Now, he makes it very clear. Don't eat nothing. That's not a way to live. Hashem will have a complaint against you for every benefit that exists in this world that you had an advantage to partake and did not benefit from. If you have an opportunity and you do not take advantage, you are a sinner. If you have an opportunity to enjoy this world, to be nene from everything that Hashem put in this world, and you do not take advantage, it's a terrible avera. However, don't be a fool, yimone milechol klal. That's nonsense. Ella, but what you should do to show that you are in charge, and the Ribbono, you're acting l'shem Hashem, Ella mishum yiras Hashem, shaloi l'malois kreso, do not fill up your stomach ad kedei hasogas ta'avoso, to achieve your full desire, v'chein, period. So what does that mean? Basically, the words are cryptic, but basically what it means over here is, just don't eat the full portion. You have a good steak in front of you, and the doctor says you can eat it, eat it! And if you don't eat it, you're a sinner. But if you want to be a chassid, leave over a piece of meat and don't eat it and throw it in the garbage. If you can, give it to, don't waste it, give it to your children, give it to someone in your family, maybe put it away for tomorrow. But at the moment, they don't have to necessarily waste it. You can put it to good use. But even if you throw it in the garbage, even if there's no one to eat it, and it's not going to stay fresh, and if you're not going to eat it now, it's going to go in the garbage, it's not bal tashchis. In fact, it is the greatest use of food that you can possibly use in this world. To eat 90% of your portion and to leave over the remaining 10% to show I am in charge, I'm not an animal, there's Ribbono Shel Olam, and the purpose of living in this world is to discipline ourselves to serve Hashem. And the way we achieve that is through controlling our taivos in regard to food. That's what it says. Again, a lot of people have a very hard time with this. A very hard time folk working with this. It's not, definitely not the, now we don't live in a generation of Musar. We're not living in that generation. Now, our generation, we don't really focus on this too much, but this is something which is well known. It's discussed over and over. It's more known as the Tainus Haravid, and here the Sefer Chasidim says exactly the same thing. Next, the Chen Keshabol, the other mitzvah of Koshalov HaSaisai, the Ein Nimel HaSaisai, Shkein Mitzin of Yavram, another halacha. Another, he's saying another concept of chassidus. He's going to inyan le'inyan is that when it's difficult for you to do a mitzvah, you should do it anyway. The difference between an ordinary person and a chassid is when it's difficult. An ordinary person, when there's a mitzvah, oynis rachmana patre. I can't go to shul today. It's cold outside. It's raining outside. It's not easy to go. You're potter. You're a tzaddik, you'll get olam haba, but you're not a chassid. A chassid is the person that goes the extra mile. I'm exempt. I don't have to go do the mitzvah, but you know something? I won't do it anyway. And as long as I'm not putting myself in sakana, I'm not causing harm to other people, inconvenience to other people, I want to go the extra mile to do something which I am exempt to do. When it's the v'chein kishabal liyada mitzvah v'kasha v'asayse v'ein nimnam v'asayse, you don't withhold. That is also called the chassid. Shekein motzi l'biavram, he's telling us a novel perush in the pasuk of 2 weeks ago. What does Hashem say about Avraham Avinu about the last week's parasha? Ki ato, no. I know, I can't say, ato yodati, ki yirei Elokim ato. Now, what is it referring to? So it really needs the Sfas Emes, who came hundreds of years later to explain what the Sefer Chasidim is alluding to. It's not so clear what he's alluding to, but the Sfas Emes makes it very clear. We all think, I was always brought up, that Avraham Avinu had no choice in regard to the Akedah. Avraham was a briska, like a brisk. It's a mitzvah. Hashem said to me, Kachna es bincha, es yichidcha, asher hafta, es yitzchak, v'lech lech l'eretz hamri v'haleo sham li'ayla. So Hashem says, Avraham Avinu, I'm giving you a mitzvah. You have a mitzvah? Do you have a choice? You have no choice. You have to do the mitzvah. That's not what it says in the pasuk. Kach no. Ein no el l'shoin bakosha. Hashem says, Avraham, you don't have to do this. This is a disclaimer. Avraham Avinu, you're not a mitzvah the oiseh. Even though we have a principle, Godol mitzvah the oiseh, nemi she'ena mitzvah the oiseh, it's not always true. There's a whole Shulchan Aruch, and when you say Godol mitzvah yoyse mimi she'ena mitzvah yoyse, we don't always say that principle. There are times when that principle is not applied, and here is one example of the Akedah. He was not a mitzvah yoyse. He had the full choice not to do the Akedah. And Avraham Avinu says, you know what? I want to do it anyway. If you're telling me that it can be done, and it's permissible, and this is what you want, even though I'm exempt, and I can give you a billion reasons why I'm exempt from this mitzvah, for all the reasons in the world, Chil Hashem, you have all these religious reasons why he's exempt, it doesn't matter. Avraham Avinu, he went and he did what he did not have to do, and therefore that's why Avraham Avinu, in the eyes of the Sefer Chasid, is called a Chosid, and he's saying more than a Chosid, he's saying he's a Yorei. He's a Yorei Shemayim. When you do more than what you need to do, and that's where the Shah in the Pasuk, Ki Ato Yodati Ki Yirei Elokim Ato. What does it mean? Now that I see that you've done a mitzvah that you were not mechuyev to do, and you anyway wanted to do it to satisfy me, now it's revealed to me, now you're a true Yorei Shemayim. That's the essence of Yirei Shemayim. Let's read the footnotes.
And I'll maybe that's why you could say, Lech Noel Atzol, that Yaakov was responsible for stealing.
It was a command.
So was it a command?
The Ata Bini Shma Bikoli. Listen to me.
She
says the word no. So does no always mean the same thing in every context?
Yeah, I don't know. That's why I'm just saying. I'm speculating.
Okay, you have to analyze it. Let's see the footnotes. The footnote on the bottom, on page Samach Beis and Yud Beis, on the very, very bottom, Gittin Ayin, Seuda Shehanoscha Mimena, Meshoich Yodcha Mimena. It's a Gemara. Okay, the Gemara is not as clear as the Ravid says. A Seuda, from which you derive benefit, withdraw, stop, do not eat the full portion. Ayin M'sefer HaNefesh, to who? Leharavid. Like I told you, the Tainis Haravid, Shar HaKidusha, famous Tainis Haravid, the Ayin, the Magid Meisharim. What Maran HaBeis says, who's the Magid Meisharim? The Malach. The Beis Yosef, every night when he slept, had a Chavrusa. Who is his Chavrusa? A Malach. A Malach came to the Beis Yosef every night and learned with him the Chavrusa. And he wrote a sefer called Magid Meisharim, what they taught him, what the Malach taught to him when he slept. Anyone here have a Chavrusa? Come, Malach comes to midnight?
No, only one that slept.
No one has a Chavrusa? The Gra also had Malach that came to him every night. Like the Beis Yosef. That's what they say, the Gra. But the Gra dismissed him, says, I'm not interested in learning with you. That's what they say. The Gra had a different approach. Different strokes for different folks. The Beis Yosef brought him into his bedroom, and the Gra said, Yeshe Koyach, I can learn, I don't need your help. I rather struggle to figure out the Torah. I don't need your help. Different approach. But he wrote a sefer called the Magid Meisharim, what he learned from the Malach, and he writes, Shekosavim Targish Hanab Machal, Echad, Le Targil Oisai, do not do it again. Vishana Lamachal Acher. do not ever eat that food again. How do you like that? That's what it says literally. If you ever have a good, go to a pizza store, you know that was good pizza. That was good pizza. In order to show that you're a Baal Musar, never ever visit that pizza store again. Go to the competition where the pizza is not so good. That's what it says.
This is completely
not for us. It's not for us. But at least, even though this is totally, totally ridiculous for most of us, but at least we should appreciate what it's about.
But our running to Kiddush and to this thing...
It's not for us. It's totally not for us. We're not on this level. You're 100% correct.
I think what we're doing... I certainly include myself. It's wrong. What? This whole thing of running after food and...
it's not healthy.
Forget about healthy. I mean, even...
No, don't forget about healthy. It's not healthy. What? That's how we are. This is the way it is. This is the life. This is the life. This is the halach of this generation. We're very weak. We're very distracted. If you're going to create barriers and everything is no good, don't enjoy yourself. People, the younger generation is going to fall away so fast. There's going to be a churban. That's the way we are. That's the way Hashem made the world. That's the way it is today. Today it's a different approach. Yechidim, people who are mature, have advanced, but at least, the very, very least, is what we're doing today, is at least to have an appreciation of what it's all about. We're not holding by here, we're not going to go and do these things, but at least, you know, understand, there's something to just to go and make sonnets of all of these things. That's not an approach either.
But we're using food to attract people.
Right, so what's so terrible? So what's so terrible?
That's the opposite of everything. We're using food. Everything is food.
Okay, so what's so terrible?
It works.
This was 800 years ago. This was 800 years ago. There's a time for everything. Look, you use food to attract, and after you attract, and then you know you don't have food. There are days of the year when we fast. On Yom Kippur we fast. The Dalet Hanios we fast. Okay, there are foods that you're not allowed to eat because it's not 100% kosher. There are different levels of kashrus. There are many, many different issues. There are many, many complicated issues in the world of kashrus. Okay, and if a person wants to discipline himself, it has to start somewhere. Let's go further. Let's go further. Like the story of Al Kistinoin. What in the world is he talking about? So he explains. What in the world is the Magid Meisharim referring to, the Beis Yosef referring to when he says that if you enjoy something, don't ever eat it again, as a way of showing Hashem that I am sacrificing I am disciplining myself in your honor. Okay? There was a story when Rabashkin was in jail. So after he got out of jail, so there was a story circulating all over the news, is that a certain fellow, he revealed that ever since he was put in prison, he was mekabel on himself. He's not going to eat chocolate. He will never, ever eat chocolate. He's not going to eat chocolate. He's going to be porush from a chocolate bar out of the mishtatef in the tsar of this individual who was punished in a way that we feel was too harsh. And everyone, including myself, everyone was like, wow, it's very impressive. My only minor point was, how come I never heard of a story of someone saying, I'm not going to eat chocolate until this older single gets married, as a way of being mishtatif in this tsar? My only complaint was, our hergeshim are misguided. There are a lot bigger tsaris in this world than this. I mean, there's a very big tsar. No, I'm not belittling the tsara, but there are gefarlich tsaris in this world. I never heard someone say, I'm not going to eat chocolate until an older single finds a shir. I want to be mishtatif in his tzad. I'm not going to eat until this person is a refuah shlema, or until this parent whose child, Rahman Mutzlan, has an issue, it's resolved. Why this? All right, different people are attracted to different things. No, whatever it is. But it's amazing. It still is amazing. And it made a very big roshim on many, many people, including myself, that a person would go so far to be mishtatef in someone else's pain to withhold from enjoying himself. It's an amazing thing. It's not possible not to be shaken up by hearing.
Is there such a thing? I mean.
Yes. Yes, there is.
There is such a
yes,
thing.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
You're imposing a certain thing on yourself because of somebody else.
I want to feel someone's pain. I want to feel. I have a friend. He's going through a very difficult situation. How am I going to be sensitive to his pain?
During the Holocaust, I
Gedolei Yisrael, they didn't take off their clothing. They slept in their clothing with their shoes. And they did not have a pillow. Rav Destler, he did not take off his clothing. He wore his shoes and no pillow. How could I go to sleep on a bed with comfortably my pajamas on a bed when Acheinu Bnei Yisrael are lying in bunkers, 20 people to a bed, being tortured in the freezing cold? Like, how could I go lie? How could I allow myself to have such to live like this? I can't. So he not only he knew many people. How could they? Enjoy themselves. People at Hurst or so on, how could they have air conditioning? It was a certain, they had an air conditioner and they mamish felt guilt. How can I go and allow myself to have an air conditioner?
So this is an appropriate thing?
If you're a Baal Madrego, not for everyone. Not for me. I can't speak for anyone else. I'm not on this level, not even anywhere near this.
I guess in a certain way, that's like another, in a certain way. I mean, you know.
All right, you're right. You're denying yourself a pleasure. Why? Because every time I'm hungry. I really want to have that chocolate bar. But you know something? I have a friend. He's very sick. You know what he's going through? You know what his family's going through? I have to feel their pain. So I feel pain. Maybe I can channel the pain to be sensitive to his tzad. It's awesome.
But then what's the next step? What's it accomplishing?
It accomplishes musa. You are mishtatev in someone else's pain. Life is not about yourself. Yeah. It's not about only you. I'll tell you the Vart, everyone is saying this Vart. It's very funny. I heard this Vart. He was Pinchas Wallers from the Roshiva in Or Yitzchak. But this is Rabbi Bender. Rabbi Bender said exactly the same thing yesterday in the name of Rapan. It says in the last six parasha, Tzuchoik Osali Elokim Kol Hashemeya Yitzachakli. Rashi says that when Sari Menu was nipple with a child, not only did Sari have a child, all of the Noshim in the world who were Akarois and wanted to have children, had children. So why was that so? So the common Hasidisha approach, I mean in a positive way, is that when Hashem sends down a Shefa, a blessing into this world, Sara, she opened up the channel. She opened up the Tzinar. And once a blessing of having a child came to her, it overflowed, and all Noshim that were in her situation also had children. That's what I learned as a child. It's a very beautiful parish, a very, very, very simple interpretation. It's a Kabbalistic a little bit, but it's a satisfying interpretation. But there's a much better pshat, much, much better pshat that's not Kabbalistic, and it's on the point, and it's so, so true. And if you don't get the Vart, if you don't understand the Vart, there's something really, really wrong. And what is the Vart? Is that Sarah, if Sarah would have had a child, it would mean nothing to her. Wow, I'm 90 years old. Look at that. My whole life, I have a child. Wonderful. But look at all the people out there in the world. There's so many tsars. They don't have children. Their problem never went away. They look at me, and they're jealous. Or maybe they're not jealous. It's just... when you have a tzara, and you hear someone else who has the same tzara, was saved, a salvation came to them, it causes you pain. Because why him, why not me? Not why him, I'm happy for him. But it just compounds and emphasizes your own tzara. So tzara said, I have a child. Why would I want to have a child? It's selfish. I'll have a child. But all of the other people who are in my predicament, they're not having children. They're in pain. I don't want Besoich Ami Onoichi Yosheves. Isn't that the haftarah of last week's parasha?
Yeah.
Besoich Ami Onoichi Yosheves, when the Shunamis and the Levi, what can I give you? I'll give you a child. What did she say? Well, give me a child. You want to talk to the king? Anything you want to go do for me, whatever you want to do for me. There are a million people out there who need the same favor. And if you're going to give a salvation for me and not for them, how do I feel? How do I feel? If they are in pain, then my own simcha means nothing. because it just compounds their pain that they did not merit a miracle for them. So Hashem says, that's right, I think she's not going to have any simcha. The only way Sarah will not have simcha is if I do a miracle for everyone. So everyone's besimcha. If everyone's besimcha, I could also be besimcha. So when Sarah had a child, it's not only the pshat, a magic. Chassin shemahalach. Hashem opened up a tzino, Kabbalah. Shefa came down to the world. Oh, it overflowed to the whole world. Everyone got their own pipe. Everyone got their own tzino. You know why? Because Sarah could not have tzachoik unless everyone would have tzachoik. That was her nature. That was who she was. That's Klal Yisrael. So here, we're going over here, a person is bitzar. If they're bitzar, I also have to be sensitive to their tzar. What can I do? I'm only human. I don't see the tzar in front of me every single day. But if I accept upon myself my personal life, I'm not going to enjoy a certain thing in this my life. That reminds me, you know, there's someone else that's always denied from a pleasure every single person in this world has. That's a very powerful mussar for a person to accept upon himself. It really is. Okay, was there anyone that was not shaken up when they heard that story that this fellow did not drink, eat chocolate? Another fellow, he did not put sugar into his coffee. I was very shaken up. How come I don't do that? I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't personally do that for Rav Ashkin, but I would do it for, I should be doing it for other things. And I'm not complaining about Rav Ashkin because every person has different sensitivities. And it's very noble. It's very, very great. I'm in awe of these people. I really am. I can't do it. I can't do it. And I know things in front of my face that are horrible. And you're overwhelmed sometimes. And that's really what it says over here in this. Now he brings over this story. We're going to very quickly this paragraph over here. And we're going to stop. And what is it over here? He brings up the story. I don't really know what the story is, but he quotes what the Magid Meisham is referring about. The Chivein, see over here the second one, we're very, very quick, because we're out of time. The Chivein, Rabbi Avraham Achosit, HaParush El Kushti Nitinani, HaMuzgar B'Masoyish Rabbi Binyamin Mitolidna. Okay, there's a diary of Rabbi Binyamin Mitolida. He went and traveled the world, Toledo, he traveled the world, and he wrote a diary of who he traveled the whole world, who he met, what he saw, Judaism all over the world. And he came and he went to this place. There's a person whose name was Rav Avraham Achosid, and he was a parah, and he went into self-imposed exile. He was a Baal Musar. He was a Baal Musar. Where he self-imposed exile, he went to this place called Kushti Nitani. What's the story there?
Constantinople.
Fine. That was his name. He was from a person that put upon himself extreme stringencies. Minias hamacholos, he withheld from eating. V'chein perash devarav, this is the case, sha'al yazev l'garmi, he explained the same principle, the person should not abandon l'garmi me'elech o'basar. Don't add more chumras than what the Torah already gave you. The Torah already told you what you should not do, and that's enough. Don't make new chumras. Ach, however, what you can do is to limit yourself. When a person is eating and you're still hungry, there's plenty of room in my stomach for more food, but I don't need it. It's not necessary. And you more nimenu toev lechol yoniach nimenu, hold back, stop, don't finish off the portion. Lechvoid habare mis mitavasai, to show that you're in control of your desires. V'al yoichal kefi tavasai. V'chedu b'sefer chay olam Rabbeinu Yitzchak mikubunil. Okay, Kabel. Okay, and then he goes on, look at Oizbeid, I told this before, with a lion. This goes back, we looked at it in the Navi. Ein ari noye mitoch kupa shel teved, elo mitoch kupa shel basar. Okay, that's why I told you, it didn't fit with the Peshat and the Rebbe Mitzudos. A lion only roars when it sees good food. That's not what the Mitzudos says, it's a hunter. Okay, Gimel, ayin teras v'hanem seper kedoshim, al yom adam yev shibasar. A person should never say, oh, chazir, ich. Chazir is disgusting. Yes. Don't ever say that all of these things are disgusting. No. A person should say it's delicious. I wish I can eat it. It's just that the Torah told me I may not do so. In other words, don't be naive. You have to, don't make... It's a very powerful chazal. Don't say, I want basach hazir, not to eat basach hazir. So we all know that the year, just going back over the great finish up, the year of Shemayim, there are many times of year of Shemayim, and he mentioned the year of serving Hashem, for Tomim Tiyah, on Nibirchas Rosh Chodesh, we ask for year of Shemayim three times. We first ask for Yiras Shemayim, and then we ask for a Yiras Chet, and then Yiras Shemayim again. There are three mentions of Yira in the Tefillah for Rosh Chodesh, which indicate there are three levels of Yira. There's Yiras Chet, there's punishment. And then there's the level, I really forgot the three different levels. There are three different levels of fearing Hashem. And this is something you should focus on every single, with this vow we've said over here a few times, but it's worthy to repeat because it's so fundamental. Every Mitzvah Shabbos, we have a spowl for Shalom. What is the true meaning? There's only one thing we learn over here today, at least this vow is the vow to learn. There's only one, the spowl all the time for peace. I say Shalom b'maymav. Shabbos Shalom. We wish Shalom on the world. What is the true definition of Shalom? Every Mitzvah Shabbos, Mishmona Esrei, what do we say? The Brach of Ato Chonan Tanu. We make Abdullah. Ato Chonan Tanu l'mada toiro secha. Vata labadeinu la'asai zchukei ritzoy necha. Vata avdel Hashem elokeinu ben kodesh l'chol ben olach eshech ben yishol l'amim ben yom hashu l'shesh me'amaseh. Avinu Malkeinu, Hochel Oleinu, may it begin upon us. Hayamim Haboim, Likrasenu, the days that are before us, the following week. Le Shalom, may it be a peaceful week. We should stop right there. We're in a rush. We have to get home, gotta change our clothing, go to the movies. We're in a rush. Why do we have to go forward? It should stop right here. Hayamim haboim likrosenu l'shalom. It doesn't stop here. You know what it does? The whoever was mechaber this nusach now defines. Do you want to know the meaning of shalom? Let me tell you what shalom is. Shalom is chasuchim mikol chet, withheld from chet, uminukim mikol avayim, free from sin, umidubakim beyirasecha. We cleave to fear you, Hashem. Shalom is yirah shamayim. That's what shalom is. And there are three levels of yirah shamayim. There's the level of being, I got lucky. I am chasuch mikol chet. You know what chasuch means? I would have done the avera if I had the opportunity. But I didn't have the opportunity. Why didn't I have the opportunity to do so? Because I know I'm very weak. So I set up a safeguard. I know that if I walk in, if I pass a non-kosher, if I pass McDonald's, I'm going to go in. I know it. I drive home, I'm hungry. I pass McDonald's, that's it, I'm done. So you know what I did to myself? I made sure I went down a different street. So I should not put myself into that situation. That's cool. That's the lowest level of Yira Shemayim. Really, I'm not really afraid to do the Avera, but I'm going to do things. I should not come lowly day nisoyoin, the lowly day bizoyoin. The next level is, I'm such a Yira Shemayim, even if I will pass down that street, I wouldn't even think of going into McDonald's. That's called Noki. Uminukim Mikolova. And the highest Madrega is, I'm not even concerned. The reason why I fear is nothing to do with fearing punishment. I have yiras harayimus. I'm in awe of Hashem. It's a much higher level. That's umidu bakim. I cleave to fear you, Hashem, for its own sake. The translation of Shalom is Yiras Shamayim. What is Yiras Shamayim? Three levels of Yiras Shamayim. Chasuchu mikol chet, umenuchu mikol avon, umedubakim biyirasecha. Sim Shalom toiv avracha chayim v'chesed. What are you really asking for? Sim Shalom, halavai halavai we should be Yiras Shamayim. If we're in Yiras Shamayim, everything goes from there. Everything flows from there. That's the Yikar. And Yiras Shamayim does not come easy. It comes in stages. It comes in many stages. To be Zoicha, to the ultimate, the highest level, the Sefer HaChasidim says, that's called a Chasid. If you can reach a level where you're Umidubakim B'Yirasecha, you're not a Tzaddik. You're higher than a Tzaddik. You're a Chasid. A Chasid is one who serves Hashem Mitoch Yira, pure Yira. Yiras Haroimimus. Not because he's afraid of punishment, afraid of this, afraid of that, he wants reward. That's not for the faint of heart. Not every Tom, Dick, and Harry is zeichet to be called a chassid. It's miyuchid for people in a very high madrega, but at least we should appreciate what it is, and at least we should aspire to what these things are. Okay, in a very short break, we'll talk a little bit more about inyane, nisuin, marriage.